As Uganda heads towards the 2026 general election, growing concerns are emerging over the state of press freedom in the country. Journalists and media practitioners have increasingly found themselves under pressure, facing harassment, intimidation, and even physical attacks. Critics warn that if these trends continue unchecked, the assault on free expression could intensify in the heated months leading up to the polls. We ask the executive director of the Foundation for Human Rights Initiative, Livingstone Sewanyana, how he rates media freedom in Uganda in relation to our peers in the region.
I think rhetorically we might say yes, rhetorically meaning on paper, but in practice I think the media freedom is being stifled here. Many journalists who have left the profession, even those in the profession, are decrying the poor conditions of work, leave alone the harassment that they face. So I cannot say that media freedom in Uganda is better here than elsewhere. I think we are doing badly.
There are theories that suggest that attacks on journalists in Uganda are as a result of the overzealousness of errant military officers as opposed to a deliberate ploy to limit media freedoms. But human rights lawyer George Musisi refutes this school of thought.
No, it's not an isolated pattern of errant officers. It's because for me, I look at press freedoms as part of the other civic freedoms in the country. And there has been a shrink in all else. Because where civic and democratic freedoms are reduced, certainly you can't find one working very well in isolation of all others. If you look at the civil society, it has been disorganized. If you look at academic freedom, it's not there. Freedom of association and assembly, it's almost every other that day it's getting the space is getting narrower.
Rogers Malindwa, the senior manager in charge of information, communication and public relations at the ruling NRM party, has given assurances that any officer violating freedoms of the media will face individual culpability.
It's our interest that the press freedom is respected to the dot, and we shall continue fighting for our space in that area. Where somebody goes against this, that person must face disciplinary action. As an individual, whether you are a security officer or you are a government official, media must be respected.
The previous elections have witnessed the state issuing a ban on independent tallying and broadcast of election results. Elections have also been held during a nationwide internet shutdown. The executive director at the Center for Policy Analysis, Timothy Chemonges, asserts that this discredits the electoral process.
These actions indeed obstruct transparency, restrict citizens' participation, and stifles accountability. In democracy, open access to information during election is non-negotiable, and there is need for us to emphasize on that. And therefore, the continued restriction of this information access to internet during the general election not only damage the integrity of the process, but also show public mistrust in institutions meant to serve the citizens.
Rogers Malindwa agrees, noting that an internet shutdown is not the best tactic to confront the spread of fake news.
Shutting down the internet is not a fair deal. We just need to wake up as NRM. We comfort everybody and say, yes, if you're attacking me here and the media, I'm also here to explain. If that media house denies me an opportunity to defend myself, then that's another story for you.
The state has been accused of enacting repressive laws to curtail freedom of speech. One of these laws that various media practitioners have fallen victim to is the Computer Misuse Act. Chemonges says this act has become a tool for silencing dissent and criminalizing journalism.
Provisions around offensive communication and cyber harassments are vaguely defined, and which provides room for abuse. Whereas there has been successful court processes to challenge the sections, some sections of this law, its implementations remain to be a big threat on the freedom of expression and the Bill of Rights as the 1995 Constitution provides.
Equal access to the media is a contentious topic that has seen the government being criticized for blocking opposition politicians from accessing the masses through radio and TV programs. However, in defense of the state, Rogers Malindwa says the government has little control over the wishes of owners of private media.
I have seen opposition at UBC, you go there, but for privately owned stations, I can't dictate who's supposed to be there. The owners decide. I can't dictate who comes to Sani. Sani chooses who to go there. If the government is to dictate that allow this one or don't allow this, we also have radio stations where we have been locked out. It is at the liberty of the proprietor of the station. I can't interfere. I'm aware of a radio in Imbarara, owned by a Catholic church, where they told me we cannot run an advert of President Museveni. And I stopped even when I had the money to pay there.
Commenting on how the media landscape can navigate away from the state of repression it finds itself in, both Livingstone Sewanyana and George Musisi believe that there is need to denounce the growing culture of impunity.
One would call, of course, for reform of some of the laws, but time may not really be on our side. What I think we need to do is to speak and denounce the growing culture of impunity. It's the only way forward. And, of course, adherence to the electoral guidelines.
They need to network such that there is a free sharing of information. When they still can, they need some bit of legal support because there may be arrests. And most importantly, they need to be bold and courage and speak truth to power. That's the best way of handling some of those things. You need to be bold, you don't cower.
As Uganda prepares for the 2026 elections, the challenge remains clear. Safeguarding press freedom will be essential to ensure that every voice can be heard.